Very pleased to introduce Lusani, who I think everyone knows. Lusani by training is a healthcare actuary with over 12 years of experience. He's the founder and director of Grassroots Impact Solutions Limited. He started his working career at Sanlam as a valuations consultant, moving on to work at Medscheme as a healthcare actuary. Apart from his normal work, Lusani has been involved in the development of the actuarial profession through his participation in ASSA since 2010. I know Lusani as our incoming president. And he's held a number of other positions in ASSA. He currently chairs the risk committee of an insurance company in South Africa and also is the part-time public interest actuary for ASSA. He's a trained design thinking practitioner and is passionate about innovation. So please join me in welcoming Lusani to talk about risk management for public entities.
All right, so I just navigate here, right? Okay. Part of the introduction was about the public interest role and what we are meant to do. And so I snoop around in conferences looking for contacts and people to talk to. Serving in some committees as well that helps you to brush shoulders with some of the key decision makers in government, etc. So that's just a short summary of some of the work that we do. And also research. You find that there's a new area that we think that actuaries can add value, like what I will be talking about today. And you would end up being the first one to just get into it and just understand it more. It's always beneficial to have professionals, actuaries, that are doing that already, like what Arthur has done going into construction and so on, to do that initial piece of work, the research, and come and demonstrate to the rest of us the value that we can add as actuaries. So what I'll be speaking about today is ERM in a public sector environment, focusing more on local government. But there's another entity that we'll speak about that links to one of the basically two of the presentations today that I will also talk about. So what I'm identifying here, and that's just to help us to see what role we can play in this, is looking at the frameworks, looking at the opportunities, looking at the potential strategic partners where we can get involved. Because if you just maybe walk up to a small municipality in your local municipality, if you know someone there, you can get some joy and you can begin to do some work there. But if you can get in at the level of SALGA, and we'll speak a little bit more about SALGA, then we can have influence over all of the municipalities. So it's those kind of opportunities that I'll be talking about. And obviously need to give a bit of background in terms of, what is the role of local government, what currently is being done, what are they expected to do, what frameworks exist already, and motivated by which of the acts. So just as a summary of what one would typically be doing here, and then a lot of you have either qualified as CIRAS or you work in that environment, so you understand some of these things very well. And it's quite clear when one looks at the Auditor General's report and so on, the internal controls and the accountability and leadership and governance in municipalities is a big problem. A root cause to many of the things that go wrong in municipalities. Looking at us as actuaries, obviously there are many other professionals that are involved in risk management. So what do we actually bring to the table in this? So I think that's something for us to reflect on. Just in terms of the role of local government, we've got three tiers or spheres of government: national, provincial, and local. So although national is mostly responsible for policy making, they are responsible for delivering certain things like higher education that sits at national level, foreign affairs, policing, and so on. You would often hear that argument between in the sort of Western Cape between the DA and the ANC about policing in the Western Cape, which is a national competence, but there are a lot of problems happening there. The government there would like to do something, but they are role is limited to oversight. So local government have a lot to do. Water, sanitation, some municipal infrastructure, including some roads, drainage systems. There's a lot, and local economic development as well, and a level of healthcare as well in some of those local entities. But I mean the inequality between different municipalities in different areas is something that really needs to be analyzed quite well, because you have municipalities that are in areas where they're never going to collect any taxes from those people. There's just nothing in rural area. I know in a rural area where I was born, we don't pay any taxes. We stay there. You sink your own hole. You sink your own sewage, and that's it. You don't need anything from anybody else. Yes, you pay Eskom for electricity. That's just about it. How will such municipalities survive? So those are some of the things that one needs to look at. So I've summarized some of the risks here, but there are probably many. I mean, you could take a whole day for workshop just to sit and analyze all the risks that running a municipality. You can imagine construction company, a lot of risks as were discussed here. But I mean, a municipality with all the political issues that you have to deal with, service delivery protests and so on. You can have an IDP, the development plan that they're supposed to have at a municipal level. But I mean, you've got a change in government, you've got a service delivery protest where you'll have to shift resources and so on. So some of these entities are much more difficult to manage, in my view, than even insurance companies. And it is said in a way that the brilliant people, the clever people, are more in the financial services companies and not in some of these entities that have a very big responsibility in our country. So I've spoken about those internal controls, leadership, governance, planning, the issue of planning. You get stuck with some of those IDPs for many years. So if there isn't proper insight involved in developing those plans, then those municipalities will be set up for failure. So outside of just even the ERM space, just getting involved in planning. But I think being involved in ERM would give actuaries sight into the planning that happens in some of those municipalities. And this is just some of the skill sets that are actually required in order to run a viable municipal entities. I've spoken about some of those external risks, and you can see at the bottom of that climate change. And so I think we're speaking the same language by and large. Spoke about, IT, I've mentioned it as in terms of IT developments. One can imagine how vulnerable some of those municipalities are to cybersecurity risks and so on. So, I mean, I think if I were a municipal manager or a mayor, I think I would have sleepless nights, because I think the risks that one is faced with in this, some of these entities could be quite a lot. So some of the challenges is that inadequate capacity in many of these municipalities. Excessive bureaucracy. Everything has to be done by the law, otherwise it's going to be a wasteful expenditure and so on, and you're never going to get a clean audit. It's quite challenging. You cannot just go and buy something when you want to buy it. Silo mentality, where people are just operating and doing their own thing and not really communicating with others. Limited resources, like I mentioned, text base in some of those areas, competing priorities, and then infrastructure backlogs. I mean, if you just compare, you look at the Western Cape, compare it to Limpopo, compare it to the Northwest, chalk and cheese. Yeah, you cannot compare what is available in some of those areas. So these are some of the challenges that I face. And then just to highlight a couple of points from the Auditor General's report, in some of the provinces, Limpopo, Free State, Northwest, there was not a single municipality that had a clean audit in those. Don't say anything about the Premier League there, if you understand what I'm talking about. And those that had up between 1% and 5% of the municipalities with clean audits, Gauteng, and that is Midval, and you understand the politics around Midval. If you don't, you need to read up a bit, okay? And then KZN, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. And then Western Cape, 40% of those municipalities had clean audits. And it comes down to the kind of people that you're... It flows down from leadership. The Auditor General, you will always be complaining about, we communicated to them, these were the things that they were supposed to do, this was the plan, it was not followed through. And there was no accountability. No one lost a job because of that. They probably lost a job for other reasons. So those are the issues there. And they do have risk committees, but, you know, what do those risk committees do? What kind of skill set do you have sitting at those risk committees? Infrastructure. 46% had no water maintenance plan. How often have you seen on either carte blanche or so on TV about sewage spilling into dams? And I mean, in Ferienkang, is it the Val? There was a whole big issue about that. Some of them just don't even put aside a budget to do that, to do the water maintenance, because of the tax base that they're struggling with and other things. 22% no budget for water maintenance, 27% no assessment of road infrastructure. And you can see the differences between the roads in the different municipalities as you go. I mean, if I go home in the Makado municipality, the roads are just a shame. I mean, just huge cracks, and you can see these roads are not being maintained at all. And you can imagine the kind of risks that introduces. And viability at that point, I think this was 2016, 2017, they were saying 31% of the municipalities were saying they're actually not able to continue operating. They just do not have the operational, income to meet the operational budget. But they have to continue because it's a constitutional issue. They have to continue to provide services for the local population there. So I think you are convinced about you may be convinced about the need for more to be done in that space. So just looking at the framework, I mean. Sort of an understanding of enterprise risk here that we're looking at is the extent to which the outcomes from the corporate strategy of a company may differ from those specified in its corporate objectives, or the extent to which they fail to meet those objectives. And if you remember the objectives that I showed you about what a municipality or local government is supposed to do, they're quite a lot. The constitutional obligations, the growth, the many things, which is, so it's not profit, but it's usually quite very how can I put it? It's quite challenging objectives that have to be met by a municipality, and a lot needs to be done to ensure that those objectives are met. Because when you put these presentations together, you know that people are going to download it even years afterwards and have a look at it. So just put this so that one can go and read up what does the PFMA expect from the accounting officer in terms of risk management. What is it supposed to put in place? The MFMA and that, and what kind of what's the reference that they use when they're looking at this? So there is a risk management framework that I think the Treasury put it together. SALGA also had a hand in that. That is published for municipalities to have a look at. So the objectives of risk management in local government lead to more sustainable and reliable delivery of services, informed decision making, innovation, reduced waste, prevention of fraud and corruption, better value for money through more efficient use of resources, better outputs through improved project and program management. So in a company, it may be that, you know, the main thing that you need to do is to generate profits for your shareholders and so on. When it comes to a municipality, as I'm saying, you have a lot more things that you need to consider. So if your risk management is there to ensure that you actually meet these objectives, that means a lot of work that needs to be done. So one of them would be informed decision making, where there's community participation. It means that when you are looking at whether there's divergence from what is supposed to be done, you also have to look at how the municipality engages with its community. So them not doing that is a risk, could be flagged as a risk. So one of the things that the Auditor General will also look at is look at the performance plans that the municipality would have put would have published, and check to what extent were these done. So the definition of risk is much wider in this environment and needs to be well understood. What is expected, though, of the people involved in risk management in that environment? Creating the enabling environment, the leadership takes a tough stance to say zero tolerance for this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to understand the risk that we are exposed to as an entity, that kind of thing, which leads to the setting of the objectives or risk appetite and all of those things, and having a policy, a strategy to execute or to manage risk in that entity, having the right resources in place, the organizational structure, and then the necessary tools to do that, and making sure that there are sufficient funds for that. And I mean, it would be when if there are sufficient funds to do risk management, maybe then they can afford to hire some of us to help them with some of this. As Arthur mentioned, that he actually there wasn't enough of a budget for him to do what he was supposed to do. So that's essentially why you may find at the moment that they don't engage serious. Either they don't know about us, what you do actuaries in risk management, or they wouldn't even be able to afford you if they wanted you. But I mean, the challenge that we have is to first of all create that appetite, create the understanding of the value that we can add, and get them to set aside sufficient funds to be able to do that. So those are the kind of things that we would need to think about. And how we engage with municipalities. This is difficult to see, but like I said, I put it out there so that, you know, when you actually print it out and see, you get an idea. I'm just giving an idea of a municipal structure. This is a metro. So you would have different levels of local government entities. A metro would be more in a city, about eight of them. Tshwane, Joburg, Cape Town, Mangaung, Buffalo, Etequini, lot in the news a lot over the last 2 weeks or so. So you have an executive mayor, you have the city manager, you can have a CFO. In some of them you have a CEO, some of them you don't have, and then you have the departments, the different departments. And in smaller municipalities you'll have fewer departments. In big municipalities like a metro, you'll have a lot more. And you can see in there that risk management sits with the COO in this case. So that is, I just thought you can have just an appreciation of a municipal structure, and just the understanding of the annual planning process, having an IDP where you have engaged with communities, and the budget a year before it's applicable, and implementing and then monitoring and then evaluating that. And so that's what the kind of things that would need to happen in a municipality. There is that cycle, so things need to happen within that cycle. So moving on from here, I just want to look at the strategic partners. So I think for me, SALGA being the umbrella body, having a responsibility to empower municipalities, but also acting as a bargaining body for the employer. They've got point number three there. They've got the SALGA Center for Leadership and Governance. I think if you can find a way to get involved at that level, at least be involved in making the councils and the councillors and the people involved more aware of how they could do risk management better, or what value we can add as actuaries. I think that would be, if we get that opportunity, that would be very good. You can see that there are other elements that they are interested to be involved in, where we can also add value that might also improve risk management in local local government authorities. So this is a far cry. I think with a lot more time and a lot more work that we can do, we can identify many other areas of involvement, perhaps that is unique to what an actuary does. So I mean, the fact that they're engaged in multiple projects, and one needs to understand those projects. Some of them are infrastructure projects, some of them are more socio-economic development projects, and those would be expressed in the IDP. I think getting an understanding of the risk that each of... So in an infrastructure project, I think the engineers and those people would have some kind of a risk register there and so on. But bringing that in and doing so for all of those projects and having a better understanding of the risks, the risk to the local entity, I think that's very important. And I mean, all of those projects would either be funded either by grants from national government or going into the bond market and so on. There is a need of viewing and understanding this thing quantitatively, and I think we can provide value there, no doubt. But I think just completing the whole cycle of understanding Analyzing the results, as Arthur was talking about, and presenting that even after the fact, lessons learned. I think those skills, the softer skills of how we do our work, would also add value to enhance decision-making going forward. So I think there's a lot more that can be done there to understand exactly the value that we can add in that space in a local government entity. And I thought, you know, we spoke about disaster risk management. So there is an entity housed in the corporate governance and traditional affairs ministry, and that focuses on disaster risk management, the National Disaster Management Center. So I'm very keen to understand exactly how this entity operates. So they are tasked to coordinate a system of disaster prevention, mitigation, and risk management. I mean, if there's anything, this is something that really is. What we're trained to do, isn't it? I wonder for myself, how do they actually do that currently? Do they have actually helping them with this? Those are the kind of things that, as we do more research, we'll understand better. I'll be attending a conference in the next 2 weeks in Cape Town that focuses on disaster risk management, so I'll get a sense of exactly how do they do their work. Capacity building, strategic research, disaster response, relief and rehabilitation, I think those are activities that we can also add value in if we get involved in that. So SALGA and disaster risk management, I think those are the key areas where I think we can get involved for initial involvement. And I think from then on, I think there's a lot of value that as you take on this and you build it up in your own consultancies, we'll be able to go to different municipalities. Hopefully they'll have the funding for it, and you can do some of this work there. So in disaster risk management, I mean, this is just me trying to think more laterally what could be done. Risk modeling, research, data preparation, like you spent 2 years doing that, you know, doing the research and collecting the data. That's a painstaking work that would need to be done so that we have models that we can understand, and that we can have results that we can communicate to other people, to the stakeholders. The strategies themselves, which of them are effective? It would be good research to go and understand strategies around the world. How does the Bahamas deal with this and that? How does Mozambique deal with that and that? And what works, what doesn't work? So it would be, I think, very good research to do that. And I'm sure there are people who have done a lot of that kind of work. It's just to pull it all together. The same sort of actuarial control cycle aspects do come through here as well. So the purpose was really for us to understand, how what is this beast? What's out there? What is currently being done? And there's a lot about what is currently being done that I probably haven't discovered all of it. And there's some extra things that we need to do. I think specific topics that could be looked at, and there are many, but one of them is just the lowering of insurance premiums, the cost of borrowing. If there is a proper ERM in municipalities, because that talks to how one could make a business case to a municipality to say, you know, if you are employing us and we're doing this, there's a possibility that you could reduce these costs and so on. All of a sudden, the funding discussion may become a bit easier. But I mean, that's the kind of work that we would need to do. Improvement of service delivery due to proper ERM in municipalities. How can ERM contribute to improvement in service delivery in terms of scheduling, in terms of, because there are a lot of projects that just do not finish on time. A lot of them. I mean, I in my village, there was a sports ground that never happened. And you find that the budget has been blown up, but the sports ground is not there. There's a fence, but there's nothing. And how often have you driven through, if you're driving to from in some of these cities, you see this construction site, but you see toilets, but you don't see houses. But the money has been used up. So those are the kind of things that happen out there. The value of actuarial expertise in disaster risk management, I think that's a big space for us. I think we need to do some work to understand how that can be done. I've just listed some of the partners there, and I think that list can also be much longer. But I thought to myself, I need to do this quick enough so that we have enough time for some comments, questions, and thoughts. Thank you.
Time for one question for Lusani.
I thought we'd have more.
Budget.
Aish. I didn't do proper risk management together.
We have a question.
All right.
Lusani, have you assessed what the political will is to actually have actuaries in the space to assist them?
Memory is an answer. I think there is. I think former Minister Nell, last year expressed that will at the ministry level. So going down to local level, one would need to showcase the value, because do those people even know what an actuary is? So I think some of the mayors there may not even know what an actuary is. What I've done is I've applied for a couple of positions to serve on the risk management committees of some municipalities. I haven't had any response. So I think the understanding of the value that we can provide is not there. We need to do a lot more education. So that's why my sense is that if we get closer to SALGA and start influencing them through SALGA, I think that can open doors. Memory, I saw your hand. Yeah, so she says, you are saying we don't have a political consciousness. We need to educate you. but I hear your point, yeah. Yes.
So, Lusani, thank you so much. I think this is a topic that needs a lot more thought about what is the actuarial profession's role and how do we develop in some of these areas that you mentioned. Thanks. Please can we give Lusani one more round of applause?